This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. I obviously don't speak any Spanish at all.
I mean, you got a couple of the words in there.
I got L, then I got numero,
and
I got dos.
Yeah, there you go.
That's about it. It's about the extent of my Spanish, other than like...
Cerveza.
Cerveza.
I had a feeling that might have been one of yours.
Yeah. Dos Equis.
Cerveza.
Dos Equis.
What's the
Modelo
bathroom?
Especial.
Baño.
Baño. Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you. Those are like the most important ones, right? You know,
lave los manos.
I don't know what that is.
Wash your hands.
Simon dit toucher les mains. That's what Simon says. Touch your face or something.
Okay.
So when I was in grade school, instead of folks getting like full on, you know, one class per year in some foreign language, what they did is like once every 2 weeks. Like every Wednesday for 2 weeks, they would have a different language instructor. So you get 2 Wednesdays of one language. The next 2 Wednesdays were another language. The next 2 Wednesdays were another language.
So you basically learn nothing, a little bit of nothing in every language.
Right. So like,
nothing, not long enough to stick in
any
like, sense.
I learned how to count to 10 in Spanish, German, and French. Yeah. So they played this record that was supposed to teach you French, and it was all Simon Says, right?
Yeah.
And that's Simon D. Right?
You know what? That's funny. I listened to that in French class as well, the Simon Says French thing. Yeah.
The German was brought to us by the high school German teacher, Frau Geitman, was what we had to call her. And then I'm trying to remember who did the Spanish. It was like not even anybody like remotely ethnic. It was like a tall, lanky white dude.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he was the history teacher in high school or something.
Who also spoke
Spanish. Who also happened to, you know some Spanish. So needless to say, that's it. We learned a very small amount of different languages. I think the idea was that, you know, it might spark us to like when we get to high school to take a foreign
language. Pick something. Yeah, and
that kind of makes sense then.
Yeah.
Which language did you want to take?
I know so many people who took 6 years of Spanish and they went somewhere, you know, went to Spain or Mexico or somewhere and they couldn't even get around.
I know somebody
that... It's like you're better off doing the thing that Ian was doing, Duolingo or whatever. He was like playing the games on his phone.
He
actually got pretty good. He speaks pretty decent Spanish now from just playing those games, but you're almost better off either doing that or just... dropping yourself in the country for a few months and you'll be forced to pick it up. Like those are the only
you'll either
real
pick it
ways
up or
to know.
You'll be, you know, not drinking cervezas.
Yeah, you'll just be like the dumb gringo that they're like, "Oh, okay."
I've got the Google Translate app on my phone and you can have the Spanish speaker speak into that and we'll just translate it for you. Like that seems to be
And it works actually pretty, I hear it works pretty well.
Yeah, we did.
It just has to be good enough, man, as long as you're not doing the wrong thing.
Right, we did a story about some...
Don't say anything offensive.
We did a story here on Free Talk Live about some other thing that's coming out soon, where it is supposed to be better than the Google Translate app.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be able to do, I don't know, 15 languages or something, maybe more.
Okay.
So, like, getting closer to Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where, like, you know, you don't have to speak the language. The translator does all the work for you.
Well, and that's all. You can make that a thing, right? If you're just wearing Bluetooth headsets or one of the Google Glass whatevers.
Right.
Like, it's coming. This is the start of it.
Or the little cool pendant that they wear on Star Trek.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got my Dick Tracy watch on.
Right.
Now you're talking.
When I was a waitress, there were these, I think they were from Japan. So a language with completely different characters, right? So they were looking, using some software where they were essentially taking a picture of the menu and it was in real time on their camera, like on their phone, translating it into Japanese characters or Mandarin or whatever language, some, you know, Asian language with different characters.
Yeah.
And it translated the whole menu.
Wow.
There you go.
And I'm sure there were some discrepancies of, especially when you're like food, you know what I mean? That's not an easy thing to translate, but they were, it was pretty impressive. And that was at least, you know, a long time ago. So. Yeah.
We've got a lot more to talk about and get to tonight, but we also have some callers holding. Let's go to, I believe this is Simon in Tennessee. Simon, you're on Free Talk Live.
I thought you were going to segue with the Simon Says.
Yeah.
I should have.
Simon Says, let's have a great time on Free Talk Live tonight.
There you go.
How are you guys?
Yeah, Simon Says, go ahead. You're live on the air.
So I wanted to say how much the show meant to me. For years and years I've listened, especially these last few years when I worked third shift as a tractor-trailer driver, which I've been driving for 14. So the show, I think since 2009, I've been listening to Ian and Mark, and I used to call in back in the day. And it really is true what Ian said when he was in jail, allegedly the first time. Somebody like Ian called in. You'll have to ask him if you haven't heard that story. But he said it was nerve-wracking and kind of gave him anxiety to call into his own radio show, he said. So it is like that, and so I haven't called in a long time. But I really wanted to say, you know, I've been praying for Ian and really hope that he's able to get out of jail and a miracle happens there, and hopefully we can get a pardon or something happens for him. You never know. It happens from time to time, right?
Yeah.
The restitutions are outrageous.
Oh, yeah. The amount of money that they've raped him for already that he can never get back, even if he wins an appeal, is just staggering. Like, money they had no hand in earning, no hand in acquiring. The only saving grace of any of this is the way Ian went about doing it was, he had mentioned even in court, he's like, if there is to be any sort of fine or anything like that, I want the money to go to the individuals who were scammed. I don't want any of this going to the state.
But even the individuals that were scammed defrauded Ian by providing him false information.
Right.
Yeah.
And may or may not be in with the state.
Right.
Well, they're definitely in with the state.
So while the state still took a big chunk, at least, you know, there's a positive side of this, which there really isn't. At least, you know, he got that wish. So,
yeah.
Simon, thank you so much for, like, listening to...
I had one more thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just saying thanks for listening to the show, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sometimes I know you have to go quickly, but I told the screener there that I had something to ask for Nikki there. And how are you, Nikki?
Good. How are you, Simon?
Oh, good. Have you ever seen the movie Dumb and Dumber?
I have, yep. It's one of the few movies I have seen.
You want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
I love the different jokes. I tell jokes all the time. I don't know how well this will go over, but I don't know if it's from the way you say exactly and other. I can't remember the exact words you say, but just the way you have a speech. I've been joking with my friends, and I said, you know, if my wife had an untimely death and your husband had an untimely death, what are the chances of a guy like me and a girl like you getting together, you know?
One in a million.
You're telling me there's a chance. So that's just what I wanted to say to everybody.
That's funny.
Well, I'll try to call back in again sometime. I got to go in here and see family and all at the independent living and everything. But thanks so much for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for listening, man. And, you know, feel free to call us back.
If something bad ever happens to Matt, that line is going to be so long, you're going to have to, like, drive your tractor trailer through it to get to the front.
The advantage he has, of course, is that he has a tractor trailer.
Yes.
All right.
Wait for that to happen before anything happens to your wife.
Let's go to this caller. I believe this is Scroder calling from California.
Do you guys want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
We just did.
Boy, the logical ANCAP slayer, Sir Skeeter Lot. Hey, you guys know darn well why ANCAPs are on the terrorist watch list, right? It's because secession is theft. And treason if you try to enforce that sham non-binding referendum you try to get passed.
Treason is patriotic.
No. No, it isn't. You guys are stealing. You guys are stealing infrastructure and land and labor capital of this democracy, man. You guys...
I didn't know you were such a statist, Scrotum.
Oh, no, he's totally a statist. Yeah,
so
he's totally a statist.
I will levy this. I generally consider myself an ANCAP, but I will lower myself to the morality of my opponent.
Hmm.
And so if my opponent is okay with stealing, then the only defense I have is to steal from him first. Because he will steal from me, right? And it's within his moral code to steal.
Yep.
So he can't even bring up a moral objection to my theft.
Yeah.
He just has to live with it. So if they're okay stealing that from whoever, then I'm okay with us reacquiring it.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is the state steals from everybody every day.
Yep.
First, Nikki, let me address this. So I'm not a statist, right? I just don't believe you can criticize government. I just don't believe you can criticize government coming, saying that they're aggressors and they're aggressing against you.
Well, what you believe doesn't matter because what you believe doesn't line up with the facts.
Hey, he was addressing Nikki.
So here's where I come from, right?
Sorry,
Richard.
I
criticize government because it's unprofitable, and you can solely criticize government based upon that fact alone.
Yeah, and you're utilitarian.
You do not have the right to call them. Wait, I keep getting interrupted, but you do not have the right to call them aggressors.
That's how it works. It's supposed to be a conversation.
They are your benefactors, actually. They're like your mom. They're analogous to my mom and in my basement.
He is sucking on the teat of the government.
Your mom.
If I try to secede the basement, is that not theft?
No.
Yes or no?
That doesn't even make sense.
If I try to secede my mom's basement.
At least we know he's in his mom's basement.
Yeah.
We got confirmation.
All right, Schroeder. Thanks. We'll talk to you later, man.
If he tries to secede his mom's basement. It's like, bro, just get a job. I don't know what to do. Like, you know what I mean? It's like...
Like, I know he had more to say, but, like, he wasn't going to top that.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to say anything better than...
That's
than
the thing.
If I try to secede my mom's face.
We'll do him a favor and let him, you know, quit while he's ahead.
The problem is, he will call back and say we didn't address it, and therefore he wins.
I don't care.
Okay. Yeah, that's not the actual rules.
If that's what he thinks a win means, you know...
Well, could he secede? Like, let's ask the question. Could he secede and take his mom's basement with him? Like, that's his claim. My mom owns the house, much like the state owns the land, right? And I want to leave the custody of my mom, but I want to take the basement with me. I want to leave the state, but I want to keep the land that I'm on.
Yeah. It's just so different. It's, like, hard to even... You know,
but it's not different in his mind. So, first of all,
his mom doesn't own the land that is her house.
Well, under a private ownership society, she would.
In theory, but currently, right. No, she does not. So he could not secede his mom's basement without seceding from the state of California as well.
Okay.
So he would have to take on the state of California in order to secede his mom's basement.
Okay. And if he wanted to secede with his basement from his mom's property... Like, we would acknowledge that would be okay? Or would that be theft from his mom?
Well, currently, I'm assuming he has some sort of an agreement with mom about occupation, right? I'm assuming he's over 18. I'm assuming, you know, either it's like, well, you're my son, you can stay in the basement. Or she's like, you can stay in the basement, but you got to pay me X, right? You know, there's some agreement in place, assumably. And so... Perhaps he could figure out a way to purchase just the basement area in the same way somebody purchases a condominium or a townhome. And this could be a voluntary agreement between him and his mom where he gets the, quote, ownership of the basement and she gets, quote, ownership of the rest of the house.
And by doing so, he would no longer fall under the rules of the household for which his mom said.
Correct.
All right.
Yes.
There's your answer, Skeeter.
So, and in a voluntary way, too.
There you go.
You know, so there you go. 603-283.
Problem solved, and we don't have to be...
6160.
We don't have to be Skeeterish about it.
Scroterish
about it. Right? We can take the root of the problem, address it, come up with a logical, plausible solution.
What if I wanted to secede the basement from my mom? That's got to be top two, top three of scroterisms.
Okay. Somebody edit that out and make it a soundbite.
Yeah.
Riley, that's up to you.
That's going on the soundboard.
What if I wanted to secede my basement from my mom? That's pretty good. All right.
That's got to go in the show notes now, too.
What were we talking about?
Skeeter secedes his mom.
All right, you guys talk for a minute. I'm going to make a note.
Okay.
We weren't really talking about anything. We were waiting for the segue to the next story.
Well, that's not enough talking.
So how?
That's not enough talking. Right. Okay.
How about them guinea pigs?
Roger, what the name? Randy.
Randy.
Randy yeah. the guinea yeah. pig. That's where we left off. Randy the guinea pig and his illustrious attempt at impregnating 100 other female
attempt.
Guinea
I mean, that was successful.
Okay, that's yeah. a successful attempt.
So that actually happened to me once. I had
at band camp.
So this one time at band camp. So I had these two pet rats. Where I had one pet rat.
A
Anakin.
Pet rat.
Yeah, they
pet
rat.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cute.
Named Anakin. Oh, so God. You could assume, one, that I'm a nerd.
Okay.
And two, that it was a male. So.
And eventually turned to the dark side?
Yes.
Turned black and eyes turned
so,
red.
So my.
It walks around.
My friends. My friends had a rat that she didn't want anymore named Gandalf. So oh. yeah, I had to take him right in my nerd theme.
So nerddom.
So I welcome Gandalf into my home.
Anakin's world.
Yeah, but they weren't
the crossover you never knew you needed.
Yeah, exactly. So I had them separated, and Anakin kept escaping out of his cage. He was a him at the time.
Self-identified.
And would go into Gandalf's cage. And I was like, eh, whatever. So Anakin ended
turned
up...
Gandalf was Gandalfina?
No, oh. Anakin turned out to be Padme.
Wow, okay.
So that was the first litter of rats. And then, you know, I was in middle school at the time, so all of my friends came over and they're like, oh, they're cute, we want to play with them. So we're all playing with the little baby rats, they're super cute. But when they're that little, you know, I made a comment about how they're really easy to sex. Well, when they're that little, you can't always tell immediately or as easily.
What they are.
And they yeah. do reproduce rather young. So my little cute litter of rats soon turned into 30.
Wow.
It just really...
You got to start like a... bake sale or something for the rats at the school. Fundraiser. That's the word. Fundraiser at the school. Yep.
Now, if so only they were super smart, then you would have something resembling the story The Rats of Nim.
Oh, I was going to say Pinky and the Brain, but yeah, Rats of Nim work fine.
So I feel their pain at the guinea pig farm.
Yes, yes. All right, segue. I do comedy music.
No.
Folks don't know. You can find some of that over at CaptainKickass.com. I have a Bandcamp page. If you're on Bandcamp page, it's the Kick-Ass Parody Project.
So there was a time at Bandcamp.
Yeah. And, like, I thought of myself as a comedian, as a parody artist, long before I sort of became anarchist, libertarian, whatever you want to call it, subscribed to the NAP, non-aggression principle, and sort of, you know, dove into all of that. It turns out it's been beneficial for me because... of the reasons of, I'm trying to remember who it was, is there was a kingdom somewhere, and the only person who could tell the king the truth was the court jester, because the court jester did it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And made him laugh, right?
Yeah, okay.
And so, like, literally right now on planet Earth, the only people who can get away with telling you the truth are comedians.
Yeah, that barely. Actually...
Barely.
I know, and they're
shut down everywhere.
I know, they're
like,
starting to get canceled.
But
yeah.
Name another place.
No, yeah, you're right.
Right? So this particular article that we're going to talk about hits home in that respect from a comedian perspective. One of the reasons that I'm happy to have the tag of comedian attached to my persona, you know, my online stuff, my stage name, all that kind of crap, is because of that. It's because, like, I can make art that says things that, you know, people might consider controversial.
Mm-hmm. It's not even in your official title.
What?
Comedian.
Okay, but it's listed in, like, you know, stuff that I do.
Okay.
Right?
Fair enough.
You know, nationally syndicated talk radio host.
Comedian.
Heavy metal musician. Comedian, parody artist, right? These are all things that, like, you'll find on, like, if you ever have seen one of my business cards, or if you go online, it lists all that kind of stuff.
All right. Fair enough.
And so, and I've arguably doing the parody thing maybe longer than I did, like, heavy metal music. So that's a long time.
Wow.
I started listening to the Dr. Demento show before I was actually into, like, regular music at the time, anything over the radio, the top 40, rock and roll, all that kind of stuff, because it was different.
Yep.
Right? And I was like, oh, this is funny stuff. I like laughing. Laughing makes me feel good. And so I would listen to the Dr. Demento show. And, of course, I'm exposed to a wide variety of different funny songs and funny artists. Most famously, of course, Weird Al Yankovic. But I spent a lot of time in the Seattle area, 22 years to be precise. And I've seen a lot of comedy there. I've seen some comedy clubs open and close. I saw one close and then reopen after, I don't know, 5 years or something nice. Like that. And so I was pretty happy about that. But this from Zero Hedge, Seattle Comedy Club cancels comics as SNL makes a U-turn.
That subheadline's weird. I don't know. How do they go together?
I'm not sure. We'll find out.
Okay.
The thing about this that disturbs me is the comedy club canceling comics, and we'll find out just a little bit more about that.
Well, they've kind of been doing that elsewhere as well, right? Which is why Joe Rogan opened up his own comedy club in Texas.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, to let those comics come there and do their thing without fear of cancellation and reprisal.
Who was it? It was Dave Chappelle. I forget what population.
Dave Chappelle is uncancelable.
But what population? It might have been the trans community or something. There was some population that is untouchable.
No, he touched them.
He touched
them in ways they did not want to be touched.
But there was a huge thing where all of the, there were a lot of people with blue hair and septum rings that were gunning for him.
Yeah, if you've watched his latest special, man, it was amazing.
Yeah, his latest special knocked it out of the park.
Yep.
But that's kind of the point, right? Like, this has always been a thing with comedians where, they could either say the truth, and you're less likely to be offended because it was funny, or they're able to just those offensive style of jokes. That's just funny to most people.
Yeah, the point is you're supposed to laugh at this stuff, and if you don't find it funny, great, don't buy a ticket.
Yeah,
but you don't have the right to prevent other people from going and seeing this.
Yeah, like it's not really to me. I don't think it's so problematic that it's going to convince people to act violently against other, like, just because Dave Chappelle makes a joke about, trans people doesn't mean that people are going to start attacking them or anything like that. It's just a joke, and that's kind of where it's supposed to end. Yep. And if people need to learn, they can do whatever they want, but it would be more beneficial for them if they could learn to, if they don't enjoy something, to just leave it alone instead of crying about it for X amount of time.
They ought to leave it alone, but I will also say that cancel culture is a market phenomenon.
Yeah.
Cancel culture is a market phenomenon?
They're not using the state. They're going directly to the service providers or the clubs themselves and saying, hey, as a consumer or a customer of your goods, we do not want you to platform this individual. And then it's individual from there on.
That's an interesting perspective.
I know, right?
603-283-6160. Do you agree? Is cancel culture a market reaction, a market event? Would you cancel comedians that you don't like? Give us a call. Let us know more. Coming up, it's Free Talk Live. We'll find out who got canceled.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. Soon, thousands of hours of security footage. The January 6th U.S. Capitol riot will be made public.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has announced the release of 5,000 hours of video from the U.S. Capitol grounds. The speaker has changed course from the original plan to blur the faces of rioters, citing logistical challenges. The initial batch of footage is now accessible on the video platform Rumble, with more expected to be released.
USA's John Schaefer. Elon Musk is suing OpenAI and and its CEO. Musk co-founded the artificial intelligence company and claims it's drifted from its original nonprofit mission by partnering with Microsoft in a $13 billion deal, all while keeping its code a secret. His complaint, filed in California state court, claims the Microsoft partnership is a breach of contract from OpenAI's founding charter. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Changed it up.
You know, we can't all do right. The exact same thing every time. I mean,
I try to follow your mouth movements and you.
Yeah, I know.
Jerk.
That's right. Yes, I am. It is Free Talk Live. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We are a live call-in radio program. So if you want to join us, the telephone number for you to call is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's me, Jerk.
It's me, Nikki.
And Rich.
I'm actually the captain, but, you know, I was just owning up to my jerkness.
I was like, maybe he's not going to say it. He's not doing the we're back part, and then he, like, throws it in at the end after we're almost done with it.
I just put a little Shatner pause in.
All right.
It's like, okay. And... we're back, right?
Man, let's put a we're little, back.
Well, that would have been a full Shatner.
Okay, yeah. This is just a little Shatner.
It's a half Shat.
Okay. Way to finish it off there.
There you go.
So, at the end of the last segment, we were talking a bit about comedy, comedians, and how comedians are sort of really the last bastion of actual free speech.
Yep.
Because comedians can say things that other people aren't allowed to say on other platforms or at other venues.
Without reprisal.
Without reprisal, right? Not that, like if comedians say something controversial, they'll get press, and then people will either criticize them or praise or whatever goes along with that, but they're not going to lose their job because that is their job. Their job is to do things, to create press.
It's like, if you're going to tell someone the truth, make them laugh. Otherwise, they won't accept it.
Right. So I want to talk about something going on with some comedians being canceled. But before we do, I want to say thank you to Brittany Martell. Brittany Martell is a silver level amplifier and is tonight's amplifier that we'd like to say thank you to. Silver level means that Brittany is giving $5 per month to our AMPS program over at amps.freetalklive.com. Now, what does it mean to give money to the AMPS program? Well, AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And the number one mission is to get this radio program onto more radio stations. That's the essence of what the AMPS program is for. We're currently on somewhere around 200 stations. We could be on 250, 300. 350 stations is not out of the question. It's all up to you. If you enjoy the show, the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, and the perspective that we bring of freedom, peace, prosperity, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Brittany. We appreciate you. All right. So back to this comedy thing. A Seattle comedy club, I should recap the headline. Seattle comedy club cancels comics as SNL makes a U-turn. I'm not sure the tie-in. It's Saturday Night Live, SNL is what they're talking about. I'm not sure what the tie-in is.
Like SNL's trying to be funny again? Is that...
I mean, they've been trying for a long time.
I don't know if they've been trying very hard.
They haven't been succeeding, is what's been happening.
I don't know if the U-turn's going to help then, if the effort's already in there.
Maybe if they started doing offensive jokes again, they would be funny.
Right.
I haven't seen SNL in a long time, but I just remember it being so funny.
It used to be, and they weren't afraid of anything. They would make fun of everybody.
That's, the point.
I will say this. One of my favorite segments is the Weekend News Report.
Yes.
And I don't know how often they do it, but they do a segment on that where the two hosts switch jokes and write jokes for each other.
Okay.
And then they have to say the offensive joke written for them.
By the other person.
By the other person. Yeah. And they do it live. So they're just reading the prompter, and that's hilarious.
Nice. Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm more of a fan of the old school, late 70s, early 80s Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
So, Eddie Murphy.
Gumby.
Yeah.
Mr. Robinson.
Yes, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. That was pretty great. Dennis Miller, even, doing the Saturday the Night update, News, Weekend Update.
Norm MacDonald's Weekend Update.
Yeah, he was great at that. Tina Fey was good at that. And even older than that, like Ghostbusters stuff, Bill Murray. Yep. Right, Dan Aykroyd, Gilda Radner, right, all those folks were hilarious, man.
And
Chevy Chase, even, man.
I will say this though: there is a history of Lorne Michaels being less than fair to musicians.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
like you are not allowed to perform this. And there's a handful of musicians that have been banned for the show for ignoring.
One of them is a band called Fear, F-E-A-R.
Okay,
and they were. It was John Belushi who, as he was doing loads of drugs with Carrie Fisher, discovered this band called Fear. They're a heavy metal band out of the 80s, very sort of fast and, almost punk rockish, if you will, by today's standards anyway. So somehow he talked Lorne into letting them come on to Saturday Night Live.
Nice.
And they, of course, said some cuss words into the microphone. They got a bunch of, their people to, show up into the audience. And so there was this, I won't call it a mosh pit, but there were certainly, things around the stage getting thrown around and people jumping up on stage and off the stage and that kind of thing. And it wasn't the band themselves that violated the FCC. It was one of the goers, one of the fans who jumped up, grabbed the microphone and said a cuss word. And then so Fear was banned from any further performances on Saturday Night Live. It was the first and only performance of that sort on SNL.
Nice.
I just happen to know that.
But they're not the only ones that got banned.
Not by a long shot.
Yeah. And most of it's not just FCC stuff, but just being offensive. And,
right. Or Lorne just didn't like them or whatever, right? Yeah. So at any rate, a Seattle comedy club canceled four stand-up comedians after angry community activists complained, according to the comedians involved. The shows at the Capitol Hill Comedy Bar purportedly offended left-wing community activists and progressive comics. Oh, go figure. The news broke as comic Shane Gillis finally performed on and hosted NBC Saturday Night Live following his termination before even appearing because activists feigned outraged at a politically incorrect bit.
Yeah. His monologue wasn't that bad either. Like, I thought it was kind of funny.
I didn't see it. So.
You should watch it.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah,
not bad.
I'll check it
out. Not great, right? But, you know.
Are you guys familiar with Dave Smith, the libertarian comedian?
Yes.
Yes. All right, so.
Quote, unquote, libertarian.
Well, okay.
Comedian.
Four comedians were scheduled to perform in Seattle throughout this year. Dave Smith, Louis J. Gomez, Jim Florentine, and Kurt Metzger. All are known for either being right of center or unwoke.
Sure.
The comedians say they received an email from the club co-owner and booker, Jess Anderson, who is also a stand-up comic, saying the gigs had to be canceled. The decision came after, quote, discussions with our team, investors, local comedians, and neighborhood advocacy groups, unquote.
See, sounds now, annoying.
Right. I wouldn't be in favor of this, right, but no involvement of the state. Right, that was my point before we went to break.
Yeah. According to an email posted by Florentine and Metzger that was sent to their manager, Capitol Hill is known for its progressive values. Yes, it is. That's a neighborhood in Seattle. It's all very... if you want to go to a woke neighborhood, Capitol Hill, that's where you got to go.
There or San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, are you saying they're comparable?
Yes. To people? Okay. Very much so, yeah. So Capitol Hill is known for its progressive values, and we've received significant feedback expressing concerns about the alignment of these upcoming shows with the neighborhood's ethos. Do neighborhoods have ethos?
The community in the neighborhoods. I mean, you obviously identified it as progressive, right? So,
well, they identified it, but
well,
I
you
agreed.
Confirmed, yeah.
I agree, yeah. Yes. This feedback includes concerns from local advocacy groups that are deeply embedded in our community and work towards upholding its values, according to the email. Anderson wrote that the cancellations were meant to avoid any potential negative impact on both our club and the artists involved, as well as to maintain the harmony within our community. So the Seattle Comedy Club has canceled shows to appease super woke progressive Seattle activists. Gomez, who was slated to perform in May and June, took the cancellations in stride. In his recent podcast, Gomez and Anderson, Gomez said Anderson has the right to cancel appearances and credits her for being respectful in the email. Still, it was a questionable decision. Are they idiots for booking us and then unbooking us? Yes, it's a super dumb move.
Yep.
Is my former agent an idiot for booking me at a super woke progressive venue that, like, the entire lineup is like blue-haired freaks, Gomez said?
Maybe. Maybe. Right? Like, that's, if you're going to get it out.
Know your audience.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, like, people who book anything, particularly original stuff, comedy, music, band, like, these people don't usually do this for a full-time gig. It's not their main, it's their side hustle at yeah. best, or it's just a way for them to get free tickets to the show, right? More than likely, that's the case. With the thing about the agents, yeah, I don't know your territory, know your clubs.
Well, partially, right? I mean, you open this story talking about the king and the jester.
Yes.
Right, and the jester being the only one who can talk to the king and
right.
tell him. So if you're gonna be the jester, and this is the group that needs to hear the truth to possibly break their woke ideology.
Yeah.
And the only way to do it is through comedy. Then you've got to find a way to, like, reach that audience.
Yes. Yes.
So
I know this about Seattle. There are multiple comedy clubs, at least a half a dozen that I could probably name.
Right.
So it's not like there isn't a venue that these guys could go to.
Right.
It's just that this particular venue was like, yeah, well, oh, nope, sorry, you're unwoke.
Yeah.
Now we can't have you. This is the part I have a problem with.
So part of it is know your audience, and part of it is, you know, knowing, you know, trying to get the message out as well.
I didn't know there were woke comedians.
Because they're not funny.
Oh, yeah, you know, there are, like, most, not most, but, like, I have seen so many specials where, like, it's just woke after woke after woke after woke.
Yeah.
Eliza Schlesinger. She's a beautiful girl. She is a successful stand-up comedian, female stand-up comedian. Woke AF.
Ew.
You know? So, like, when she's not doing...
What do they joke about?
When she's not doing jokes that are politically charged, she is very, very funny. And so I enjoy her comedy for that reason. Other people, Jim Jefferies from Australia. That guy is freaking hilarious until he starts pulling the woke crap, right?
Have you come across Taylor Tomlinson at all?
That name sounds familiar.
Okay. I think she's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't classify her as woke, but she's funny to me, at least.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see comedians who are funny, first and foremost. Now, if they happen to be, subscribing to woke, whatever that is, right, then I got to tolerate that while watching their specials or going to see them live or whatever, if I choose to do so.
Right.
It's far more likely that I'm going to go see somebody like Bill Burr.
Okay.
Who's, self-declared anti-woke.
Right.
Right. He's funny, too. Like, they're all freaking funny.
Right.
If they weren't, they wouldn't be doing this for a living.
But also, Nate Bargatze. Are you familiar?
No.
Look that one up. He's clean.
Really?
And funny.
Nice.
He's hilarious, but just clean family. You could take your kids to his show, and everyone laughs.
Wow. Okay.
So, look up those two. Taylor Tomlinson and Nate Bargatze.
Okay. The article continues, Gomez suspects part of the issue was that young, jealous local comics who play the venue were upset that he and the others were coming to town. He says it's easy to find their offensive comedy online. Like, comedy is by nature offensive.
Well, not even just that.
Previous example.
It's easy to find anything online. You know what I mean? So, like, that's, like, a pretty poor argument. And it's like, people want to go to a comedy show in person.
Yes.
I can also listen to music online. But sometimes I like going to a live show. It's a different energy.
I can listen to offensive music online.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
You could.
Can't
or
listen
in
to
person.
That on the radio.
They're gonna cancel Slayer because Slayer's not woke? You know, like...
If they try to perform in a woke community, then yes.
I don't know that Slayer's necessarily anti-woke either, right? Like, they're just, one of my favorite bands. So.
They don't even have to be, but how is the community going to respond, right? If the blue-haired, septum piercers, whatever, are in your neighborhood, and they're like, we don't want this noise in our venue, well, the venue operator is going to have a choice to make, and it could affect future profits, and they're not activists, right? They're there to make money.
Yeah.
Which is the go woke, go broke, catchphrase or whatever can be true.
Well, like
depends who your audience is.
But does a community, instead of the venue, right? So, like, the community has a choice. If the community sees that, a non-woke comedian is coming to town at a venue in their neighborhood, don't go. Don't buy the ticket.
Absolutely.
Like, should the venue respond to the community uproar by canceling their booking?
Depends. They're considering the profit incentive in that. Is it going to be more of a hassle? Are they going to lose money by catering to the comedians? Or are they going to, make a profit and make more money by having woke comedians or woke shows that cater to their woke community and drive them in for future shows?
I mean, previously, like maybe like 20, 30 years ago, a normal person would just be like, oh, I'm not interested in that sort of comedy, so I'm just not going to show up. Present day, these people are so crazy that they will completely boycott the venue. They will tell all their friends and it would destroy this business. So I kind of do get why they would cancel the show just to kind of try to salvage their own reputation. But it's pretty lame that there has been this like weird cancel culture created where it's like you can't just see something that you don't like and just not go.
Well,
let's also say that a few decades ago people were protesting gay pride parades as well, right?
People this still are, though.
Understood. But they were. It's not like that has changed. People you could ignore the gay pride parade just the same.
Yeah.
But people go and protest.
Yeah.
So Gomez suspects part of the issue is that young, jealous local comics who play the venue were upset that he and others were coming to town. He says it's easy to find their offensive comedy online. Quote, that's just what happens when comics don't have anything going on. They look for drama, he said. So Anderson found drama within the comedy space there, and she was like, all right, I think they're great, but I'm not, you know, I don't need to make it a thing. Maybe they were concerned with protests? Seattle is like a super woke area.
I'll bring up a more recent example, Drag Queen Story Hour.
Yeah.
Right? Just don't go.
Right.
Don't take your kids.
Right. Yeah.
But there were people on the right who were like super offended that it was even taking place and protesting.
And that's the thing too. I mean, I think the wokeness also is on the right too. You know, because a lot of those like super conservatives will be like, oh, the wokeness and whatever. I mean, they're kind of equally as easy to offend them as it is to offend the lefties.
Don't tell them that. They'll get offended.
I will tell them that.
Okay.
I think she just did. On national radio, no less.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The protest, the hate mail is going to roll in. Yeah.
According to King 5, that's a Seattle television station, according to King 5, the Capitol Hill Comedy Bar makes comics, quote, adhere to a code of conduct which outlines expectations for respectful behavior and language, helping to create a safe and welcoming space for both comics and guests.
Sounds not funny.
Unquote.
It's a woke comedy club. It's not going to be funny.
Too funny not to immediately put on blast. Metzger, one of the comedians of the Seattle Comedy Club, canceled, pointed out that the venue is located in a former Capitol Hill autonomous zone, the Chaz. You guys
nice.
Remember the Chaz?
Yeah.
That is the location where radical, violent activists took over six city blocks during the Black Lives Matter riots after the death of George Floyd.
I was kind of a fan of the Chaz Chad thing. It wasn't successful, but it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Am I mistaken that this club is in Seattle's historic Chaz district? Kurt looks up towards the heaven. Thank you, George Floyd, he posted on X. So there's a little bit of a tweet here from
the patron saint of fentanyl.
Yeah, there's part of the email looks like has been posted. It says, we truly value the art of comedy and diverse perspectives it brings to our lives. It is our hope that we can find a way to work together in the future under different circumstances. In the meantime, we are committed to making this transition as smooth as possible and are here to discuss any concerns or questions you may have. Thank you for your understanding and your incredible contributions to the world of comedy. We wish you all the best in your upcoming projects and hope to have the opportunity to collaborate in the future. Jess Anderson, Comedy Bar owner and booker.
You could have ended up with a situation, what is it, the heckler's veto?
Yeah.
Right, where, you know, some right-wing guy goes onto a college campus to give a different perspective and they just shout him down.
Right.
Right, you put these comics on stage and the protesters go in and shout him down and you get no show. Right? Like, that's a thing that happens. So, as the venue operator, you got to weigh out these things. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I was thinking about it earlier today. We were at the dinner we usually have here on Sundays, and somehow George Carlin came up, and somebody was talking about how they didn't know that George Carlin had like clean comedy, like before the Seven Dirty Words.
Yeah,
and he totally did. He was totally a straight laced comedian, suit and tie guy, right? Trying to do, you know, clean comedy, and like he did it successfully. He was funny at it, but you know he wasn't standing out from the crowd. He was just another comedian in that crowd. And so what he did is he looked back at history. And of course, if you're not familiar with Lenny Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could say that George Carlin sort of ripped him off in that respect.
Okay.
Right? Ripped him off isn't necessarily the right term, but like Lenny Bruce would smoke on stage. He would always wear like black clothing. And he was very offensive.
Yep,
particularly at the time. He is, the as near as I can tell, the first stand-up comedian to be arrested for telling jokes on stage.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, he actually got arrested and thrown in jail for telling jokes. Now, George Carlin also had an infraction at Summerfest in Milwaukee in 75 or something like that, where, like, because he told the seven dirty words bit.
Yep.
And people were offended. And so here come the cops. And there's video footage of him, you know, talking both with the cops and then later about the cops and what happened. That is, as far as I'm concerned, if you're into comedy, required viewing. But Lenny Bruce was that rebellious, like, I'm going to use dirty words. I'm going to point out the hypocrisy of, like, the state and, like, you know, humanity in general and what's wrong with mankind and that kind of stuff.
I mean, you brought up Eddie Murphy earlier. He compares, like, you know, Bill Cosby to Richard Pryor.
Yes.
Right. Both funny.
Yes.
Completely different shtick.
Right. Yeah. I would compare Carlin to Richard Pryor more so than Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
Right, just because they were more of that same era. I mean, Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy made the comparison as far as influences in his comedy career. You know, the comics before him was like Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Like super clean, family friendly, and don't tell your kids.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But both successful.
Yes.
At the time, both funny.
Yep.
At the time, but different ways to stand out.
Right.
If that's the goal, you got to find where your niche is.
Right. And even like when I was growing up, the one comic that I always thought was different from all the other stand up comics was Carrot Top.
Prop comic.
Yeah, because he was a successful prop comic.
Yeah.
You could go to like local comedy shows and see prop comics, but like they're kind of hit and miss.
I like Gallagher.
Gallagher, yeah.
Just smashing watermelons.
Yeah. Again, a clean one, right? You know,
he generally
I mean, he walked the edge every now and again, but like only just now and again during his show. It wasn't like part of his full-time shtick. Whereas George Carlin like literally reinvented himself from the clean-cut suit and tie guy to the I wear black all the time and rip on what's wrong with humanity full-time. Right? Like it's a complete 180 for him. Other artists.
But was that the true Carlin then? Or was that the act?
I think that the clean Carlin was the act.
Okay.
I think that he, you know, he looked at sort of what made Lenny Bruce go and adopted some of his tactics.
Okay.
Because, well, why wouldn't you, right? You got to look to those who inspired you to be comedians. And he thought to himself, this is way more me. And also, like, I think he started doing drugs.
Okay.
Right? Like, I can't, you know, I don't know, like, to what extent George Carlin did actual drugs, but it seems to me that he did. And we know that drugs sometimes open people's minds.
Inspires.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makes you more creative. I know me personally, like, if I'm struggling to write a new riff for a song, if I just smoke a little bit of marijuana, all of a sudden I got riffs, right? They're just coming to me, right? So, you know, you take it for what it's worth, right? That just happens to be something that works for me, right?
I'm sure it works for a lot of comedians, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
My guess. Yeah. So,
But you got the offensiveness of, like, Andrew Dice Clay?
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
Oh my God, I saw an ad for him.
Really?
Recently? Like, is he still alive? Like, like that guy, wasn't he kind of old already when he first got fame in the 80s?
Yeah.
Right? And so he's got to be 70 something now? I don't know.
Touring? Still like, doing shows?
Yeah. Is he got a cane now? You know? What's the deal? 603-283-6160. More to come on Free Talk Live tonight. So stay tuned.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.